What's up, everybody? We are back with another session of the Sisters in Therapy podcast. So, in light of March being Women's History Month, we're going to have a discussion about the current political climate as it relates to women's rights, mm-hmm. women's anything, and whatever else comes up in this session.
Okay.
So, the current political climate for women, how you guys feeling about it?
Not feeling great.
Okay.
Not feeling great.
Okay. No. Okay.
Not feeling great at all.
Okay.
There are times where I'm like super anxious, and there are times I'm like, why am I still in Texas?
Yeah, I'm about to say, you're always saying you're going to leave Texas.
Because like, it's getting worser and worser.
Okay, the double negative.
Yes.
Okay, so Roe v. Wade, you know, was marked one of the most significant moments in women's history in 1973.
Right.
That was only a short 50 years ago.
Right.
This essentially gave women the right to have abortions, autonomy and freedom to take agency over their choices and their bodies. Mm-hmm. For nearly 50 years, these freedoms allow women to make decisions about their personal health care. And I say health care because abortions is not just about terminating a pregnancy. It's also sometimes life or death for some women during childbirth. Now, 50 years later, this has been overturned.
Mm. Which I still can't fully wrap my mind
around. It does.
It has been overturned, and this right has been revoked for women.
Mm.
And it only existed 50 years. I just like to say that because 50 years is not a long time for a woman to have this right. And now, 50 years later, this constitutional right has been revoked. Mm. So, specifically, how does the overturning of Roe v. Wade impact women's physical and mental safety?
I mean, in so many ways, like you said, it's not just about abortions. It's not just about not even wanting to have a child. Like, there's so many. One, it doesn't matter, okay, because abortion is healthcare. Exactly. It is reproductive justice. It is autonomy over our bodies and agency over our bodies, which we should all be granted.
Yes.
You know, it should be one of those things that is just inherent. So regardless of that, it is, what we're seeing is people are being forced to have children that are out of rape, out of all of these other horrible situations. I'm seeing people that are scared to have babies because they're like, even if the baby is, even if I want the child, but something goes wrong, this is an atopic pregnancy or a harmful pregnancy, they come into my office and they say, they might let me die.
Because.
What are we supposed to do with that?
That is a lot. That's heavy. I was caught off guard by so much of this topic being a part of my everyday therapy session.
Oh, yeah.
And not that women were having abortions. It's just that women are upset that this is the reality of women.
Yeah. And I think that's the mental piece. So it's not even just about the physical piece. I seen it in almost every session.
Every session.
I worked with adult women.
Yes.
And it's just, and that's the mental fuck of it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now we are constantly afraid. I have people who are afraid of even accidentally getting pregnant.
Yes, they are.
And I'm honestly still very much speechless at this point. Out of all of the things that needs to be reassessed, adjusted, whatever, that should be the last of the last of the last on the list. It don't need to be on a list anyway.
Right.
But I just don't understand how men are making laws when they will never experience pregnancy.
They will never die from childbirth.
They will never die from childbirth. And so you're telling me, as a woman, if I am having a pregnancy that might kill me, that I should view this as a blessing.
That is
what the fuck? And then the use of Christianity to justify it.
Yeah, no, yes. God didn't say that. So we can take, they need to stop pimping God with these agendas because God is not pleased at all.
I was
about to say, because God ain't no hoe.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I got that from my client because my client said the leaders And some of the pastors need to stop pimping God because God ain't no hoe. And I'm like, you know what? Mm. That's the best way I ever heard it put.
I mean, because facts.
Yeah, because you like using Christianity as a scapegoat to push a message that you care about children when our education system is what need to be reassessed. If you really care about children.
If you really care about children, you would care about the person that is carrying the child. Life
right.
to bring on into this world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's so, not godly.
That's not godly.
Not godly. It's not community-like. But it is American, unfortunately. But,
I'm speechless.
You know, so this obviously leads to profound implications for the health and safety and well-being of women from disadvantaged and marginalized communities.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How does this impact those women from, let's say, Black, Indigenous women of color? How are they impacted with this new, with this overturning of Roe v. Wade?
I think it goes back to even why Roe v. Wade was so important from the beginning.
Okay.
It's access.
To health care.
To health care. Yeah.
Yes.
That saves lives.
Yes.
Coat hanger, you know, abortions were a thing. It was not safe. Mm. Also, we talk about people not being in situations to be able to adequately care for children, but mm-hmm. you're forcing them to have children, making their situations even more dire, yep. you know?
Okay.
You're making them even more disadvantaged, and they know who they're doing it to,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. Because other people, you're going to have access.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have access. You're still going to get the abortion.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was, and that's how it will still be.
Mm. This has been humiliating, though, for women.
Yes.
Because, you know, we can speak to, I think I have
over my- half of the my, population.
My
the world just said-
Brittany Watts, if we can name drop Brittany Watts from Ohio. Because mm-hmm. she didn't have an- Yeah, I just learned that she was a nurse. I just knew the background.
They were her co-workers. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Tell the story. So all I know is that the young lady had a miscarriage and she was basically being criminalized for that. And it was just a humiliating situation for her. I feel like I felt secondhand embarrassment. You know, that's another, when that happened, more women even came into the therapy room like, girl, like, do you see this shit? Like,
yes.
mm-hmm. I need to leave Texas. How many women came and told me about the move to Denver?
Yes. Even there was another story with Ken Paxton. What is he?
He's a senator or something, right?
Or is he the attorney general? I hate that I'm bringing his name and I don't remember. But there was a white woman. She was having issues with her pregnancy. She needed to have a medical procedure
mm-hmm.
for to get...
But she wanted to get pregnant again, right? Is this the same lady?
Woman?
Yeah.
But she needed to do the necessary procedure so she can have another kid
exactly.
later on.
That's
he
what I'm
told
saying.
Her, no.
That's what I'm saying. She didn't. She wants to be a mother, but right. she needed to do. That's when I say that sometimes abortion rights is this
necessary.
Is necessary because it's a health. This is healthcare.
They don't and they don't have any medical experience at all.
But because it's a woman's body, she has no agency.
Mm.
You are essentially. A soul and your body is not yours.
Yep.
This takes me back to, I know that was a white woman, but all I can think about when this happened was.
Ooh, I know where you're going.
Slavery.
Yep.
We talked about it. And one of the, we briefly skipped over it. How producing forced. Children was a labor of Black women. Mm-hmm. during. But, you know, to be fair, white women it's also went through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They although they are white, they have access to privilege, but they also have access to oppression because they're women.
This is
mm-hmm.
true.
And that's a coming out, that's an intersect for us with them because none of us have the autonomy over that, especially in this state.
Yeah. yeah.
And in our first, you know, in the beginning of our season, we were talking about just how important autonomy is.
Mm-hmm.
And now look, in this particular thing over your body and your reproductive health care, you don't have no autonomy.
No.
None of us, not you, not me, in this state.
No.
In 2024.
In 2024.
I feel like it might carry, not that it's not okay.
Okay.
Across the board. I'm thinking about the intergenerational trauma.
For sure.
That is being held in Black and brown bodies.
Yes.
You know, these bodies were once the bodies of a breeding ground, a place that was not yours.
That's deep.
You carry this in your body and then... You get this right and you get this freedom, this autonomy to choose what to do with your body. And then 50 years later, they say,
no,
no.
But
let's
talk specifically about like how this can impact women in their relationships mentally. Mm. Mental health wise, this weighs on women.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would be a lie if I say I haven't spent some time thinking about it, upset about it, maybe even shed a tear about it because I'm seeing real life situations where some women have been faced with this situation, and some women are coming in just upset about the situation. And then I'm seeing how this is impacting people's family planning in regards to premarital counseling.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had people that were saying, like, before we get pregnant, we're going to have to move out of state because they're married, they want to have a child, but they feel like it is a life or death situation to be pregnant in Texas.
Yeah.
Apparently not just Texas.
Well, this is true.
I mean, Ohio too. Mm-hmm. Right. I can't even say it's a Southern thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm speechless. I really don't know what to say. I'm not even going to hold you.
Okay. But has this come up in your therapy space?
Oh, for sure.
How do you hold space for those women?
Humanizing them, right? Like giving, like you can feel this rage because this is very frustrating.
That's really all you can do is validate.
Yeah.
What to say? I
what coping skills can you have for this?
This has radicalized some women because I have been seeing women for a long time and they just, you know, skimping through life. And then this news came out and, you know, people they know were impacted and it's radical. Now they see the world differently as a woman. I think this has made some women mean to their boyfriends. I had to have conversations with them about this and how that's not okay.
Yeah.
But also trying to get, this brings me to my next, well, we didn't really talk about the first question, but just trying to get the men to see and understand the rage of their women when they are upset about the news in regards to this topic. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, people will say, you know, they don't got nothing to do with you.
This is not the case.
This is a collective issue for women.
Yes.
In fact, I think not enough men are mad about it.
I agree.
Not enough men are mad about it.
And it's really a slap in the face whenever we are showing feelings about it and you're saying, but are you trying to have an abortion? Or have you had an abortion?
That's not even a point.
Besides the point.
Right. That's not even the point. It's the fact that my rights have been literally
taken. And why don't you care? This is not okay that you don't care that I don't have autonomy. Do you really love me? Because now I don't know. Because you don't care if I have autonomy over my body. But that's a problem.
But if we could talk about how this may impact women in their relationships and in the other roles in which they occupy, their mental health is kind of being challenged here because they're struggling with the reality and the sadness that this is their right that has been taken away. They're not going to want to have sex with their husbands. They're not going to want to be doing all this other stuff. In fact, some women are even scared to have sex because they don't want to get pregnant. Mm. So that's when I say, you know, this is everybody's problem.
It literally is.
So hold space for your women or your sisters and your cousins and your mothers in regards to this new information that we have in this political climate because it's heavy.
I guess I don't understand how you see this type of stuff, you have people around you that are directly affected, and your response to that is, don't worry about it. That won't be you.
I can't wrap my mind around that either.
I guess I don't get that because that's not true. Now, that is a level of cognitive dissonance, and there's an element of male privilege when it comes to that because truly you won't.
I see it more so as privilege, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is the problem, right? With this topic and every other topic of we don't care about shit until we are individually directly impacted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is a problem. That's a problem. How can men be allies?
Holding space. Because it's not about you. It's literally not about you at this point. Because we, as far as I know, ain't no rights directly taken away from men when it comes to stuff like that. I mean, we could go down the list. I had a client recently. He talked about how, like, he notices the discrepancies between when he goes to see the doctor and gets medicine. There is no hassle. When his wife goes to the doctor and needs medicine, they either disregard or they give her other stuff until it's the medicine that she actually needs. Mm-hmm. So we already had.
So he's able to voice that, name it, identify it.
Yes.
And a lot of men don't do that.
Acknowledge.
Yeah. They want to acknowledge that is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's a big part of it. Just acknowledge.
Okay.
I think that goes back to even our previous episode of that vulnerability of people.
Yeah.
Like, if I acknowledge this, then that means, like, I'm a bad person because I have this privilege and I don't have to go through it. No, it's just validating. It's just saying, hey, I see you. I see that this is your reality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I think men could also do better at just respecting women as adequate storytellers of their bodies. Yes, and humans.
And humans. Mm-hmm. So a way in which I see some of my husbands and fiancés being allies to their women, which completely caught me off guard that I really gave them a hug in the therapy room is them saying, you know, I'm going to get a vasectomy.
Yeah, that's been a big one.
I've seen men say this and they're like, yeah. I love you. We're not about to deal with that. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that's masculinity right there.
Yeah.
This is you being a leader of your family and a provider and a protector.
Right.
What's within your control in this situation? That man said, getting a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hands down, no questions asked. This is my wife.
Right.
I'm like, that is deep. Sexy. You know what I'm saying? I had to get that man a hug. Can I hug your husband? I'm his therapist.
Do your thing, girl.
But no, I was like, I had never thought about that because I didn't think, like, what? When he said
love
that,
me in a way that you can make this small reversible outpatient procedure that you wouldn't mind doing this so that you can potentially save my life.
Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Love me like that.
Exactly.
So I'm like, there are men out here who get it and they are upset about it. And they're like, okay, what can I do about this? Because this is my wife. I love her. I chose to marry her. How can I protect her in this? And he was like, I thought it to myself, this is really easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a vasectomy. And I'm like, bro, what? I've never heard anybody say that. I do think he was younger. He was like below 30. He was 30 and younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay.
Yeah, they out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They in therapy with their wife.
I was about to say, we need you single and available, okay?
Okay, so I seen the uptick of this in the therapy room, and what specifically drew my attention to this even more so to hold space for in this podcast setting was since 2020, I want to say, there have been about, I could be wrong because I'm not remembering the stats, 30,000 rape-related pregnancies in Texas since they overturned Roe v. Wade. Something like that, 26 point something.
That's insane and ridiculous.
Didn't you share that on your story? Uh-huh. That was insane to me. I said, oh, we got to talk about this because that is a lot. So, you know, Abby said that he would do something about the rapes. What's the plan? Crickets. We haven't heard him mention this again.
He's too busy worried about the border.
This is true.
He is really hell-bent on
separating
Texas from the United States anyway.
Again?
Yes, girl. They really trying to make this its own country. Mm-hmm.
It's about that time to go in.
Yeah.
I've been looking at apartments in D.C.
Because
I'm ready to go.
No, I hear you. I hear you. So as a part of like it being Women's History Month, I thought it was important to just talk about this particular history, how it was so significant 50 years ago. And now 50 years later, it's just like that.
Yeah.
Gone. And slowly, I think it's going to be revoked in multiple states.
Yeah. So what can women do to like find support? Because this is not something, this is really hard to cope through, right?
It is.
And I'm glad that you asked that question about like, how can men be allies?
Mm-hmm.
Is because a part of being the population as being targeted, right? Like it's like you screaming at the top of the mountain and you don't want to feel crazy for feeling so much anger and frustration about it all, right? So what can we encourage women to do?
Feel their feelings, say how they feel, journal. Having just this foundation of caring for yourself in this political climate and knowing your rights in regards to this situation, if you are dealing with this or you scared to get pregnant and knowing what your options are, there are options out there. People exploring, people do research. And just knowing, like, being informed about the options, the legality of the situation.
For sure.
And I've heard amazing stories from different women about how their OBGYNs have kind of helped them through this and just held space for them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, women see women.
Yeah.
And not for Brittany's sake, though. A girl in Ohio, apparently.
Hmm.
But
her coworkers. Bro.
But for the most part, I'm seeing doctors actually... they are not okay with these laws. And they're like, I'm protecting my clients. So I'm seeing that having rapport with your doctors.
Yeah.
Having rapport with your doctors, I think, is a big one.
Yeah. And I like the part where you said, like, be well-informed. Like, don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. If that doctor is not listening, bye. Next one.
Yeah.
Because there's no point. I'm paying for this service. I am here because I'm supposed to trust you to be the medical professional to tell me what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And you just dismiss? Nah, I got to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of advocacy at this point.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, T? What you tell women? Or men who come in concerned about this issue?
Women, I tell women to trust that you are the knower of your body.
Mm.
Like, nobody knows your body better than you. you get to be the expert on your body. You get to be the one to say what happens to your body.
Yep.
So like you said, advocate for that. Mm-hmm. And surround yourself by people who get the importance of that and value that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And will stand. What they say? They standing on, what?
Standing on business.
When it comes to me and my body.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's what I tell them. Okay. So we could talk a little bit more just about Women's History Month in general. How do you guys feel about this month and it being a Women's History Month?
How we feel about it?
Yeah.
How you feel about it? I love being a woman.
What's the importance of Women's History Month, Takesha?
It's not Women's History.
What's the importance of being Women's History Month, Takesha? Yeah. It will be.
My bad.
That's why I was like, it's up.
Right?
We got you. We saw my
Okay. Women's History Month. One is my birthday month, so I love March. March is my favorite month. But I only remember celebrating Women's History Month probably the last 9 years. I don't remember it being a thing before 2015. That's what my social media tells me. I started celebrating around 2014. Mm-hmm. So maybe the last decade or so has been a really big thing. Mm-hmm. But you talk all the time just about how women make contributions to society and it goes unnoticed. We saw the Hidden Figures.
Absolutely.
Women make, important contributions to society and we don't really learn about it. So Women's History Month is kind of like, let's talk about these things that these great women have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That have been left out of history over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's really the importance of it for me.
Okay.
It's just acknowledging women who were here, women who are still here, and really bringing them to the forefront and acknowledging their voices and the work they've done.
Yeah. And it keeps me grounded, right? Because it's easy to forget because we benefit from the sacrifices
of the women before us, right? For sure.
When I learned fun facts about, I didn't know that there was a Black woman who was also a pioneer in Pilates. Excuse me?
Yes.
I just recently, I'm going to listen to it. It's called The Godmother. She's a Black attorney. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the time frame, but she was the prosecutor of some big mafia guy.
Okay.
So I'm going to be listening to that. So, just learning fun facts, I am living your wildest dream type thing. Kind of similar to how I feel about Black History Month, right?
Like, for sure.
It's seeping in, this is hard, but it's nowhere near what they had to encounter before.
No, so we stand on the
grateful.
Yeah, we definitely stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
But Women's History Month and Black History Month are both significant. But, if we're being honest, sometimes Black women get left out of Black history.
Heard.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the truth.
So I'd really be, two Women's History Months for me.
Yeah, that's facts.
For sure. But I think, Women's History Month for me is definitely I love the empowerment and the affirming of each other and just the non-competitiveness around our differences and just looking at another woman, complimenting her, oh girl, you got it. Just empowering another woman, because so much of the historical hoopla has been about, you're going to be arguing with a woman about all this bullshit. But for me, it's definitely women in sports. I love the movement that we're having with women's basketball, specifically college and WNBA. I love that movement. I love that people are paying attention, that these women can also shoot some hoops.
Exactly.
Anything else you want to add about Women's History Month, Takesha?
I learned, this is kind of just random. So I was listening to this podcast called The Plot Thickens, and it was a story about Pam Grier. I already appreciated her. But let me tell you something. That lady stood on business when it came to herself and men. She did not sacrifice her career for, Lord, what's that man name?
Because she definitely did.
What's that man name?
To me.
Richard Pryor. He,
how
listen,
did she not? How did she not?
So in the podcast, she's... The podcast said, and she's on there talking.
Okay, good.
That Jim Brown called her when, I guess Richard Pryor damn near killed himself he burned himself. His body was 50% burned.
Uh-huh.
Jim Brown called and was hey, he's in an accident. He might die. Can you come? We're sending a plane. She said, no.
Yeah, at that point, he had done a lot of damage to her.
Yeah, they didn't, I'd imagine they didn't want to talk too much about the trauma. Mm-hmm. There was some, they shared a little bit, but I just love that, because she's in her 70s. They visited her on her farm, and she's just as happy as she wants to be.
I love Pam Grier.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to you, Pam Grier. I don't know if you'll see this, but you are appreciated.
She's making, I'm seeing her make a comeback, I think because Netflix has Jackie Brown on.
Yeah, I need
or Pulp Fiction on Netflix. Okay. So people are starting to see her more. Pam Grier is that girl.
Yes.
Of course, when I think about Women's History Month, I'm going to always think about Harriet Tubman because that is my girl. I love girl. Me some Harriet Tubman because...
Did you leave cookies out for her?
I did not, but, you know, next time.
Yeah.
But, so, when I think about Harriet Tubman, I think about third grade me because that's when I was introduced to Harriet Tubman's story. Mm-hmm. And I was reading... The teacher or somebody was reading the book and, of course, I felt the way, but at the moment, at that moment, I didn't know what I felt, but now I know that there was, like, secondary trauma and... And I was starting to think, like, maybe this is why they're trying to take the history out of school. Because you do feel a way when you're reading these stories. But that don't mean you need to take the Black history out of school.
Yeah.
But that story changed my life in third grade. And I have been infatuated and obsessed with Harriet Tubman ever since.
You really have.
I have. I have. Araminta Ross is her real name.
Speaking of Harriet Tubman and speaking of...
She's supposed to be on that $20 bill, too. And I have not forgotten.
You passed due.
Yes.
Speaking of that and the importance of Women's History Month, all we know is the Underground Railroad. Do you know that she also helped with this?
She helped with so much.
So many different things. Reproductive justice.
She fostered children.
Not just that.
Yeah.
She helped with like coding and not coding, but like helping with the pathways in the Civil War and leading people powerful and soldiers. Woman. Like they came to get her to help them. Like
yes.
She's literally
she was a
force.
We didn't hear about all that.
Literally.
We didn't hear about all that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why I feel like the movies did not do her any justice.
Not at all.
I ain't gonna hold you.
But it took forever to even get a movie about Harriet's life.
Yeah.
But another person though, Rosa Parks, you know, they only talk about her for Sit on the Bus. Rosa did a whole lot
for
more.
Sure. For
reproductive justice advocate.
Yeah. She was sent to go start shit.
Yep.
Yeah. That was her role.
Yep. Yeah. I can't wait until Shirley Chisholm. I cannot
now
wait
that,
for
I'm
that
excited
movie
about.
To come out. I think it's supposed to be 2025, I think. Or is it this year?
I think it's this year.
They already started,
I want to read the book. She's been filming it for over a decade. You know, for Black people to get their films out, somebody say it takes years. So when you, by the time it gets to us, it has been like 5-10 years.
And they'd be busy with other projects. So that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm excited about that.
Okay, I'm thinking of Women's History Month, thinking of other people. So we're going to wrap up this session about Women's History Month. We hope that you took some gems from this and could learn how to be allies for the women in your life, fellas. And just also women knowing your rights and knowing that you're not alone. If you're feeling rage about this topic, you're not alone in the rage at all. People need to respect your rage. Mm-hmm. And so with that, go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Sistas in Therapy, that is S-I-S-T-A-S in Therapy, and make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to our show on, and give us a review. And as always, go love yourself.